Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate all the prayers for my family. And my dad was 85. He was going to be 86 next month. And he lived a pretty good, healthy life. He actually, up until the week before last, he was out golfing. He golfed every week. And then he got sick and was in the hospital about a week. He said he didn't want to go on a ventilator. He said for God's will to be done. And I think 6 or 7 days later, he went to be with the Lord. So I'm thankful for the prayers. We appreciate it. And just wanted to mention that. If you would, open your Bible this morning to Isaiah chapter 44. Boy, that was a blessing this morning. The song service, the special music, all the stately worship songs that we sing. Amen. And worshiping God and praising God is an important thing. And you read, many of us love the Psalms. I read the Psalms often, and many of them start off with praise before they even start making requests and asking God for guidance and blessings and things like that. And a lot of times I think us personally, we just go right into the asking for requests. And if you take time to praise the Lord for a few minutes and you really sense getting yourself in a good spirit to pray, amen. And so that was a blessing. Those were some of my favorite songs. Adonis' song was about worship, and it was a blessing. But over here, Isaiah 44, I don't know if I mentioned that. And the whole chapter is good. Of course, we're not going to read it. The part we're going to focus on, verse 21, 22, is the Lord appealing to Israel to return unto him. If you read the beginning of the chapter, we see that they had fell into idolatry. Amen. And many of us in our day, we don't leave the Lord and begin to worship statues that are made out of trees and things like that, such as they did. But really, anything that we put in our lives as a priority before God is a type of idolatry. And so we need to be careful as Christians that we don't let the Lord become a last resort or an afterthought. He needs to have priority in our lives, amen. And so we notice here he's going to appeal to Israel to remember and return. And all through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you hear the children of Israel being told to remember, amen. And sometimes we need to remember some of the things that brought us to Christ originally, the love we had for him at first, and how over time we can drift away from the Lord. And you will start drifting away from the Lord in your heart and mind before you physically drift out the door away from the Lord. And so it's important for us to keep a watch over our spirituality, over our walk with God, and we're not just complacent and go through the motions, and it's like duty without devotion. You know, we just been doing this for so long that we can do it without that our affections and our love towards God. That's what the church in the book of Revelation was. They had left their first love. They were doing everything they were supposed to, and God mentioned that, but he said, nevertheless, in spite of all that good stuff you're doing, you've left your first love. And so for us, we're going to just look at a few things in verse 21 and 22 that could bring us a remembrance, amen. And if we have drifted from God in our hearts and our devotion, our affections, that the great thing about God is that he's always appealing to us to get right and come back and to take notice of these things and to live our lives with his blessings on us. So we'll read verse number 21 and 22. He says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeem thee. And so we see in verse 21, he's saying to remember. In verse 22, he's telling them to return. Amen. And so the fact that he's telling them to return implies that they had drifted, that they had turned away from God. Amen. And the thing we need to remember is that it's always us turning away from him. It's not him turning away from us. It's always us that turn our back on him. It's always us that harden our heart towards him. That's why in the book of Revelation, talking to the church there, he says he's at the door knocking, amen, and he's knocking to come in. And so as Christians, we can put up a wall, we can put up we can close the door, and we can still come to church with our suits and our skirts on, and but our hearts have drifted, amen, and desires and our love and affection toward God, amen. And so drifting away from God and being called to return, again, it just implies that our desires towards God and our affections towards God are now directed on some other thing, amen. And he's not first in our lives. It's one of the passages I love is over in Isaiah chapter 6 or 7, where the prophet says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lit up high, lifted up, and upon his throne. Amen. And so the human king died, but he knew and recognized that God the King is still alive and on the throne, and his train filled the temples, and he had the heavenly vision, amen. And so to keep our affections on God, amen. I mentioned the church in Revelation chapter number 2, amen, that we can go through the motions, but our heart's not in it, amen. The Apostle Paul at one time in the epistle says, the love of Christ constraineth me, amen. That's what the love of Christ, knowing how much Christ loved him and how thankful he was to be forgiven of his sin and to be a child of God, and that's what motivated him. It constrained him to walk with God. And I mean, we see no one in the New Testament as fanatical as the Apostle Paul. I mean, it didn't matter if he got beat. It didn't matter if he was hungry. It didn't matter if he was naked. He just kept pressing on, and he was serving God because he realized what God had done for him. Amen. And so, again, it's an important thing for us to remember that we need to keep our affection and devotion towards God as a priority in our lives. Amen. Not a last resort. Because what's a resort? That's a place you visit once in a while. Amen. You see all the commercials on TV all the time for this resort or that resort. That's a place you visit. Amen. God shouldn't just be a place you just visit once in a while. Amen. God needs to have the preeminence in our lives. We sing songs saying he's our king and things like that. And if he's our king, then he should be ruling and reigning, amen, in our lives. And so, appeals to them to return. He's talking to Jacob. Jacob was the wrestler, Israel the prince, amen. And he's telling them to return, and he's using a tenderness here. He's not, I mean, you see sometimes in the Old Testament where God's upset and people die, amen. But God is gentle with them, and there's a tenderness and a long-suffering that God is showing here towards the ones he loves, amen, and he has that same, those same emotions towards us, amen, and desires a closeness to us and a closeness for us. I was reading a few weeks back in the Gospel of Luke. And when Christ is on the appears to the two on the road to Emmaus, and he's walking with them and talking with them, and they didn't know it was him. And that's a good sermon someday on how he's with us even when we don't think he is. But the thing that stuck out to me was when they had got to the house, he made out that he was just going to keep going on. But then they asked him to come in. And that just shows us that God don't force himself on us. Amen. He wants us to invite him in. He wants us to want to have that close fellowship with us. He wants to have that intimacy with us. But he's not going to force himself on us. Amen. He wants us to willingly want that with him, amen. And so one of the reasons that we should return to God in verse 21, he says that I have formed thee, amen. In verse number 21, the Bible says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, amen. And Israel would have had no existence, amen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, amen, on them. God chose them. There was nothing special about them. There was nothing beautiful about them or better than them about them. But God chose them just like God desired for us. To be saved. There was nothing beautiful about us. Most of us were probably unlovable when he loved us, and yet he saved us, amen, and formed us. Romans 5:8, the Bible said that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, amen, Christ died for us, amen. Even when you were lost in your sin, enemy of God, a child of the devil, all those things, Christ loved you and died for you, amen. And this 1 Timothy 2, it says, talks about God who will, it's God's will that all men be saved, amen. Men, women, boys, girls, that God is willing that all be saved, amen. And that's one of them verses that the Calvinists miss. They skip over, amen. They avoid it. But where his workmanship, amen, it tells us over in Ephesians that he hath ordained that we should walk in with him. Amen. And so some of the reasons we should return to God is the fact that he saved us. He formed Israel. He saved us, conforms us to his image. Amen. And it's a reason that we should walk with him. Another reason is over in verse number 22, where we see they're forgiven. Amen. In verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Amen. Return unto me. Amen. And so one of the reasons that we should keep our affections on God, and we should have God be a priority in our lives, and keep our devotion to him fresh and alive, and not just be mechanical and complacent and going through the motions, amen, is because we've been forgiven. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, amen, whose sin is covered. And thank God, ours isn't covered, amen. Ours is washed away. Our sin is gone, amen. And before you got saved, before you came to Christ, your sin separated you from God. It was, our sin was like an obstruction. It was like a dark cloud, amen. It was like a thick fog of some sort that separated us from God, amen. And it was because of his forgiveness that we could be reconciled to God, amen. And it should be something that's held in high esteem and something that's very important to us, amen. We sat in darkness, as the Bible tells us over in Colossians, amen, that he delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, amen. And I love the world, I love the earth, there's beautiful things about it, but at the end of the day, this earth is a flying graveyard, amen. Everything dies. People die, pets die, plants die, amen. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, we fear no evil because we're saved, amen. And having that eternal security and knowing that we are in God's hands and no one can snatch us from his hand, amen, and that should be something that motivates us to keep our relationship with God strong, amen. Because he saved us, because we're forgiven, he goes on, he says in verse 21, I have not forgotten thee, amen. That's another reason that we should. In verse bottom of verse 21, he says, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me, amen. And all our willful wandering away from God and all those, he never forgets us, amen. I mean, if any of our kids just went off and moved out and left and we never heard from them, we would never forget them, amen. It's still our child, amen. It's still our kid. It's still the one that we brought into the world. And just like God births us into the kingdom of God and we're born again, amen, we're not forgotten of him, amen. And we can shut him out willfully. We can turn from him, amen. But he promises us he will never forsake us, amen. And so again, that's another reason why, another thing we should remember, and a reason that we should return, amen. Lo, I am with you always, amen, even till the end. And then even at the end, he takes us home, amen. And so we're never without God, amen. And even though there's times maybe like them two on the road to Emmaus, didn't know Christ was with them, he was, amen, and he's with us. It may be times, sometimes you can sense it, but then there's other times where you feel like God's a million miles away, but you know what, he's not. If you're saved, he's inside you, for one thing. You can't get away from him, amen. And so for us to keep our relationship with him strong and intact. We need to claim the promises, amen. That's why reading your Bible is so important, so you know these things, amen. I was talking to my son yesterday, and I had made a comment that, you know, if we read one chapter, you've probably heard me say this, I'm a big fan of reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. If you read one chapter a day, you'll read through the whole book in a month. And that book is designed to give you wisdom, to give you guidance. It's written from God to us, amen. And when you have a steady diet of the word and it's inside your heart like a treasure, a box in your heart, when something goes on, all of a sudden you get upset and you're mad in the verse because you've read it so much and you've read the word of God and you're a student of the Bible, will say, the verses will pop up, a soft answer turneth away wrath, you know. And you're like, man, but I just want to yell at this person, you know. And then all of a sudden you're ready to explode, and the verse pops in your head that a man without a rule over his spirit is like a city without walls. And, you know, and something sinful pops in. You remember the Bible tells you to avoid it, to don't even to look at it. And so it's so important, amen, for us to have that steady diet of the word so that we won't forget, amen. And the times, and those times where you feel distant and you're going through something, no matter how you feel, we walk by faith and we walk by the promises of God. So it doesn't matter how I feel, amen. I mean, who really can explain what being saved feels like, amen? I mean, it's a fact, amen, by faith in God's word and what he says, amen. We all like having the little mountaintop experiences, but even Moses only had a couple, amen. And most of the time, it's just we're down in the trenches, regular, everyday life, amen. But when you remember these things, amen, you remember God never will forget you, amen. He's with you always, and you, again, can stay strong as a Christian, amen, because it just seems like the days we live in, I mean, it just seems like it's getting more and more wicked. You know, I remember people saying when I first got saved that the rapture's right around the corner, and just the times that changed in the 30-something years I've been a Christian, it seems like, man, God's got to be ready to bust through these clouds. But we all know we're not going to set dates, and it could be a long time, but it's important for us to know, amen, these things, and to live our life in these crazy times close to God, amen, and close to each other, and to take care of each other, to be kind, amen. There's so many mean people in this world nowadays. I mean, road rage and people going off at work and ambushing cops. I mean, it's just crazy, amen. Then you add a crazy disease into it, a virus, and politicians all lying. They all say they're following the science, and every one of them does something different. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm not a genius, but something don't seem right, you know. And so just the times we live in, the most important thing you can do is be close to God, amen, and close to one another. And the worst thing that ever is going to happen to us will be here. Amen. But lost people, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you never accepted him as your Savior, the best thing that's ever going to happen to you is going to happen on this crappy planet that we live on. Amen. So you would be wise to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And so anyways. And so we turn back to him if we've turned away again because he saved us, because he's forgiven us, amen. He says he won't forget us over in verse 22. Another reason why is the fact that he redeemed us. Verse 22, the Bible says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Amen. He paid the price of redemption, amen, the cost of what Christ went through, amen, the fact that he purchased us with his blood and his life, amen, should be one of the strongest reasons for us to turn back to him and set our affections on him, amen, and give our heart and devotion to him, the fact that he went through what he did, amen. And one of the things that's So beautiful, and we sang it in that song, crown him with many crowns. You know, we all talk about getting to heaven, and we get a new body, and there's no aches and pains and sickness and all these things. But Jesus Christ's glorified body has the visible wounds, amen, through all eternity. So all eternity, we're never going to forget that he loved us and died for us, amen. All through eternity, everybody there will have a perfect, glorified body, a perfect celestial body. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, remember he showed up in the room and he said to Thomas, he said, they thought it was a ghost. He said, you know, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, amen. And then he said, touch me, see, look at the wounds in my hand. That was Christ's resurrected body that still had those wounds. And that's why 1,000 years in eternity, we'll never forget that he died for us, amen, because we'll see those wounds, amen. And just the fact that he loved us, died for us, amen, that was God in the flesh dying for us, amen. God manifests in the flesh, dying a horrible, horrible death to save sinful, some people, extremely rotten people. Some people are probably good people, but it doesn't matter, amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and he died for us. And so that's a strong reason, a good reason, amen, a good fact that the cost of our salvation, what it cost an innocent man. I've said it before, when you picture the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary, that's God's love on display, amen. That's God showing. You want to see how much God loves you? You look at Calvary. You know, you hear people say, ah, God don't love me. You know, why? Because your cable went out. He don't love you because your car broke down. You know, that's ridiculous. Amen. Look at Calvary. God showed you how much he loved you. Amen. When he sent his son to that cross, and not even talking about the horrible whipping and beating and the thorn and all those other things that went on that day, the spitting, laughing at him, all that he went through, amen. And that's a good reason for us to return to him, amen, if we've drifted in our heart. Like that prodigal son's brother, he didn't go nowhere. He was still there doing his chores, doing everything he was supposed to be, and he was self-righteous, he was bitter. When the brother that did drift away came back, he was upset about it, amen. Can you even imagine that? If somebody backslid and they came back to church and then we were mad at them, it's like, thank God they came back. But the father saw him afar off and ran to meet him, amen. And that's how much God loves us, amen, and wants to have that relationship with us. Because we can all make mistakes, amen. And that prodigal son made a big mistake, amen. But he came to his senses. He realized he sinned against God, sinned against his father, and turned. He returned, amen. So for us, a good reason to remember and return to God is the fact that he redeemed us, amen. And through all eternity, we're never going to forget that. Every time we look at those wounds in his hands throughout eternity, we'll remember he died for me, he loved me. And that should be a motivator for us now. And one more thing we'll look at in verse 21, because he commissioned us, amen. Look at in verse 21, twice. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, amen. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, amen. And for us, we know that the New Testament, we know the Lord gave the commission to the apostles gave it to other disciples, and boom, 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 2021, here we are, and we have that same commission to reach the lost, amen. And that's probably one of the greatest and one of the highest callings that we can have, is to be able to speak in Christ's stead. You're speaking for God. That's what the where it says we are ambassadors for Christ. And what's an ambassador? You hear like on the news, oh, the ambassador for this country. They're representing that country, and they're speaking for that country as an ambassador of Christ, as a child of God, given that authority. Imagine having the authority to be able to tell someone that how they can have their sins forgiven and go to heaven. I mean, that's pretty a lofty thing, amen. And we have that, amen. Just like he formed Israel, amen, and they're his servants, and he commissioned them. As Christians, we get to speak in Christ's stead. We get to speak for him. But if he's not a priority and we've drifted away, you're not even going to be thinking about it, amen. When you have an opportunity that you might have been able to say something to someone, or an opportunity where you might have been able to, I'm a big fan of gospel tracts. It's easy, it has the gospel, and it can get something started, amen, a conversation started. And it's crazy because I can preach for, you know, an hour if I had to. I won't, but I could. And but I have a hard time, like I always envy Pastor Speroni in a good way, because he always has these cool like story openings for his sermons, and you know, sometimes they're pretty long, and you're like, man, you know, that is cool. And I just get up and say hi, open your Bible to, and tracts are a good way. You can just say, hey man, can I give you something to read? And maybe they'll just take it, which is a good thing. And maybe they'll look at it and ask you something. And then you can go, amen. Everybody's different. Everybody has different personalities. But that's the highest calling that we can have, amen. And to see others brought into the kingdom of God. Because we know this world needs Christ bad, amen. In a bad, bad way. From our leaders right down to the worst person maybe sitting in prison or something. Everybody needs Christ, and we have that privilege. Amen. It's a privilege. We don't have to speak in his stead, but we can. Amen. Just like we don't have to go to church, we get to go to church. Amen. We don't have to sing, we get to sing. Amen. And it's just your outlook on things can make a big difference, amen. And so for us, amen, having that authority to tell others their sins can be forgiven, and we are responsible for this generation, amen, of sinners. And again, we need to have our hearts connected and knit close to God as a priority, amen, and not be one that's drifted away a bit, got a door up or a wall up. And sometimes a Christian that goes, sometimes when you go through trials, you harden yourself. You know, it's like a defense mechanism. You harden yourself, you know. And so sometimes we have to be careful, amen, that we're not hardening ourselves towards God, amen. And we want to be like that fertile soil. When the seed goes in, it germinates and it's soft and it can take root and grow, amen. We don't want to be hard, amen. And so anyways, a reason to return is he saved us, amen. He's forgiven us. He does not forget you. He loves you. He doesn't love anybody else more than you. He loves you as much as he can, as much as anyone else, because he died for you, amen. Another reason is he's redeemed us, and just the fact of the price that it cost for us to be forgiven, us to be able to go to heaven, and for us to have a somewhat blessed life, even in this crazy world, amen, is all because of the cost of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. And so we need to always remember that, amen, and to remember that we have the privilege of being able to speak to the Lord. So I'm all finished, Betty. I don't know if you want to play something. And all I can say, if you're here today, God loves you, and if the door's closed or the heart's hard, God's always gives us the opportunity to make things right. And so during this invitation time, if you just obey the Holy Ghost, really, that's the most important thing you can do. And if you're here today and you never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step, amen, to get in on track and on the right path with God, amen. So, thank you.